Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Sometimes we are insecure about what we believe, like we believe in creation, but we might not really done a research on it, so we're insecure.
I heard Pastor Robert talk about it in a sermon, so I know creation's right.
And then someone starts asking us and you're like, you're insecure. So you end up attacking the person.
I don't think you're even saved if you believe in evolution,
right? Because you're not really, the answer to that is to go dig into the topic.
Ever have an argument with someone about something in the Bible that you're not quite sure about, but you thought you knew? The moment you're done arguing, you go searching for answers, looking for the truth so that you can be confident in it. Well, God doesn't want us quarreling, but He does want us to know why we believe what we believe, so we can be grounded in the truth, His truth. With more from Romans 1:18 through 24, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
Some of you may believe in theistic evolution. Theistic evolutionists, people have learned evolution, maybe in school or college or whatever, maybe done some reading on your own, and for whatever reason you believe it, you believe that God created the world through evolution. Evolution was the tool that God used to bring creation in. And I want to say that if you believe in theistic evolution, there's no reason to say that you're not saved. There are people who do that. I'm not one of them. The Bible says you must believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. It doesn't say you must believe in creation to be saved. Creation, as the majority of evangelicals, believe it. Dinesh D'Souza, you may remember him. He's one of the persons that Donald Trump pardoned. I should say President Donald Trump pardoned. A little respect, right? So President Donald Trump pardoned. He had made an anti-liberal, kind of an anti-liberal movie and was kind of attacked, and he ended up pardoning him. And I think as you look into it, that it was a pretty good pardon. But Dinesh D'Souza had written a book on faith. And Dinesh D'Souza is Catholic. I believe he's really saved. And he is also a theistic evolutionist. I don't think there's any reason for us to say that a person who believes in evolution as the way that God did it is unsaved. Here's what I think, though. We ought to be able to have conversations. Sometimes we are insecure about what we believe, like we believe in creation, but we might not really done a research on it, so we're insecure.
I heard Pastor Robert talk about it in a sermon, so I know creation's right. And then someone starts asking us, and you're like, you're insecure, so you end up attacking the person. I don't think you're even saved if you believe in evolution,
right? Because you're not really, the answer to that is to go dig into the topic. The Bible says there are differences among us so the truth can be known. And we ought to be able to talk about anything. Anything that you begin to believe, we ought to be able to talk about it together so we can study the scriptures together and get to know more of what the truth is. It will keep us from veering off to the left or to the right in extremes if we can open up and talk and listen and own it. It's not just something I say or another pastor says, but it's something that you have studied and you have owned, and it is something that is becomes a part of you, and you can defend it completely. Evolution, if you are a theistic evolutionist and you get to heaven, you're going to find out you're wrong. Okay? That's my interaction with you. I believe that the world was created as God said that it was created. Evolution is unproven. And I have said for years, and I am willing, if you have the proof of evolution, then give it to me. Tell me. I do not want to believe a lie. And if evolution is true, then I will believe it. I will not stop believing in God. I myself will become a theistic evolutionist if evolution is true. I don't want to be one of those people that stick my fingers in my ear and say, I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear you. I want to know what the truth is. I think that both, remember a couple of years ago, there was a debate between Bill Nye, the science guy. Bill Nye, by the way, isn't a scientist. I think he's an engineer. He's not a scientist. He might not have been the best choice for the debate. And Ken Ham, who is a creationist. And both of them were asked a question at the end of the debate. Is there anything that could prove to you that the other side is right? If you received any information, and both of them said, no, absolutely not. And I thought that that was disingenuous for both of them. I thought that Bill Nye should have said, yes, if you could prove to me that God created the heavens and the earth, then I would believe it. But he said, no, meaning no matter what you say, no matter what the truth is, I'm going to believe what I believe. And it would have been great if Ken Ham would have said, hey, if you can prove to me evolution, I'll believe it. But it's so far from being proved, there's no way I think it's going to happen. That's what he could have said. And that's probably what he meant when he said, no, there's nothing you could say that would make me believe it. But I think that we all ought to be open to the truth, right? We're truth seekers. We want to know what the truth is. And here's the thing. First of all, there are no transitionary animals in the fossil record at all. Zero. It was said during the days of Darwin that given enough time, the transitionary animals will come out. Right now, there's too many fossils. They're out there. We're going to discover them. They're not there. Evolutionists now say that it's punctuated, meaning that the transition between animals takes place so quickly. And when they say quickly, they mean it doesn't take hundreds of millions of years or billions of years for one animal to change to another animal. They live for billions of years in their state. And for maybe a million years or a million and a half years, there's a change taking place. And that is so small compared to the fossil record, which they claim is 12, 14 billion years now. I don't even know the numbers anymore. I lost track of how long they say the fossil record is because it keeps growing in size. Pat Lazovich, who is pastor of Calvary Chapel Sierra Vista, he's a few years older than me. He says, when I was a kid, I was told that the earth was 4 billion years old. Now they tell me that it's 12 billion years old, and I'm not that old. That much time hasn't passed. I think that's just an absolute great line as he talks about it. But they say it's punctuated evolution so that it happens fast, so there is no fossil records. They had to adjust what they believe to the evidence. Now, I'm not necessarily criticizing that. I think if you don't adjust what you believe to the evidence, then you're not being honest, right? Science is going to constantly change. We believe that we have the truth that never changes. Science is going to constantly change, and an honest scientist believes in fallibility. In fact, any scientist will tell you, everything is fallible. And what they mean by that is you better be checking everything again and again and again and again and again, because that's the only way you're really going to come to the truth of what's taking place. So I don't criticize them for making that change, but it does reveal to us that they are going to continue to change what they believe compared to the evidence and are most likely going to continue to suppress that there is a creator. Darwin also said when he looked at isolated environments, finches, turtles, iguanas. There were other things he studied as well, okay? But those were kind of the main things that he studied. And he saw that in these isolated environments that finches had changed over a period of years. And there were different kinds of finches. They were isolated. They had to be, you know, just a couple of finches in the beginning or maybe a handful of them. And now they've become these different kinds of finches. And iguanas, the same thing. They were isolated on the Galapagos Islands. And then they became these different kinds of iguanas that you only find on the Galapagos Island. And he said, this is the driving factor. This is the machine. This is the most powerful thing in the universe. I disagree with Darwin. The most powerful thing in the universe is God. He said the most powerful thing on the universe is natural selection. Do you know what the second law of thermodynamics is? The second law of thermodynamics is a law that says everything goes from the state of order to disorder. If you take your car out into the desert and you leave it for 5 years, and you go to pick it up, is it going to be in better shape or worse shape? That's the second law of thermodynamics in action. Everything is deteriorating. If you don't believe that, look at a picture of you from 5 years ago. Everything is going from a state of order to disorder, right? I mean, just 5 years. I'll look at pictures of me 5 years ago and go, wow, I'm changing fast. So that fights against evolution. Because evolution was supposed to be billions, billions and billions and billions of years ago, there was one cell, and that one cell said, hey, let's be two. And there they went. Now, I purposely make that sound ridiculous because to me it is ridiculous, but I purposely make it sound ridiculous. So he has these isolated incidences, and there's obvious changes. I've asked for about 20 years now for someone to give me the smoking gun. I've called it the smoking gun and the bingo moment. Bingo. That's it. Evolution is true. I want to know the proof. I want to know the evidence. And I've asked for years for that. And if ever I talk to an evolutionist, that's one of the questions I ask them. I say, listen, I'm open. I really am. I promise you. I'm a pastor who is open to the truth. And if you can tell me the proof of evolution, then I will believe it. What is the proof? Usually I get, it's too complicated for you. In other words, you're too dumb. Okay. To which my response is, you're really smart, so why don't you figure out a way to dumb it down for me so that I can get a hold of the smoking gun. Well, someone sent me a link to a podcast that talked about the proof of evolution. And here was their proof. This is a true account of what happened. A long time ago, there were short-necked and long-necked giraffes. Now there's only long-necked giraffes. And what happened was is that they figure, this is what they say. Maybe there was an event that killed off the shorter trees and only taller trees were left. But that all the giraffes in an area ate all the leaves off the shorter parts, and only the longer neck giraffes could reach up and get the leaves off the taller parts. And because there were less giraffes, they were able then to be stronger, they were able to mate, and their genes were passed on. And so the shorter neck giraffes died out, and the longer neck giraffes lived, and there was a change in the species because those genes were cut out of it, and now that adaptation or that microevolution led to macroevolution. Microevolution is the where finches change among finches. That's microevolution. Macroevolution is when a finch becomes a gersimuga, whatever that is. It becomes something new, a new creature. Now, what Darwin was looking at, in my opinion, whatever that's worth, okay, is he was looking at adaptation. God has placed inside of animals the ability to adapt to their environment. And all of us understand it. The genes, the longer neck giraffes passed off there on their longer neck genes to other giraffes. And we understand why that happened. I don't believe that's the power of natural selection. I believe it's the power of God that he put inside of us to adapt. It happens to us too. If you go to a colder environment and you have four or five generations of children, you have children in a few years that handle the cold better. If you've lived in Tucson for several generations, my wife is a fourth generation Tucsonian. Not only was she born in Tucson, she has four generations that were here. And her mom, her grandma, or great grandma, I can never remember which one, came over on a wagon train in 1890 to Tucson. I say she's adapted to Tucson. If she walks outside and it's like 80, she's like, ooh, I need a sweater. She is just like, and I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, it's like, it's so hot out here. Our room, we have a thick blanket on our bed because I like to keep the room at 73 degrees. And she's finally acquiesced because I tell her, I can't take any skin off. You can put more blankets on. I can't take any off. So we need to lean towards my side. Right, guys? Am I right? Isn't that a sound argument? Right? So we adapt to our environment. Darwin himself said, if the cell is complicated, then I am wrong as far as evolution goes. And the cell is far more complicated than they thought. If you ever do a study of cells, it is amazing how complicated they are. Now, again, I don't criticize scientists for readapting or evolving their thoughts based on the evidence. They found out that the cell is older. Excuse me. They found out the cell is more complicated than they thought. And so they went, we need more time for evolution. We need to understand that the world now has not been here for 2 billion years. It's been here for at least 14 billion years because you could never have a complicated cell in the amount of time we're talking about. At the rate we're able to see if evolution were true, at the rate it's happening by the time we've been studying it, it has to have billions of years to be able to have changed to where we are. Who knows how much that is going to change? All of this to say that we do not need to suppress the truth. Even though there are those who say creation is not part of God, but it is just something that happened. It's something that came from nowhere and just suddenly came into existence. The attributes of God being revealed. The universe is 27 billion light years across, as far as we can see. From the earth, we can see 13.5 billion years in every direction. Probably that's the end of what we can see for right now, but that's... we can't even begin to fathom how long it would take at the speed of light to travel from one end of that to the other. I mean, you just can't even put it into, people have done it, you know, it would take this many years to do it, but the number is so high in years that we lose an idea of how many years it would be to be able to cross it. And if God created our time, space, matter continuum, our universe of time, space, and matter, he lives outside of it and he created that, then our God is big. The Bible says God measures our universe with the span of his hand. He's big. But he is also so involved and intimate in your life that he knows the number of hairs on your head. For some of you, that's hard. And it changes every day, right? I mean, every day some of our hair falls out, except for some of us. So God knows what's going on in your life daily. He knows the changes that are taking place. This big God who created the universe, when we think of all of the different kinds of animals that are created in such absolute creativity, just the differences, it tells us so much about God. The Bible says that the earth was created with order, in wisdom, and balances. God created it. The earth is incredibly balanced to spin the way it spins, to go around the sun the way it goes around the sun, how far it is from the sun, the moon, the magnetic field. And we could go on all of those incredible things. We could even talk about the Big Bang. They found trace radiation in 1967. Again, don't hold me to those dates. I didn't look them up. I'm just kind of going from memory. I could be a couple years off or a decade off. But I think it was in 1967 they found trace radiation in the universe and thought they were going to be able to discover and pinpoint where the Big Bang was from, because where the explosion or the... I had a scientist come up to me last night and he told me it really wasn't an explosion, and then he told me the term. And I told him, I can't say that. He told me it again. I go, no, I can't say it. I can't say it. He's giving me this word. It's like, I'm missing... That's what it wasn't an explosion. It was a missing... I'm like, I can't say that. I'm going to say explosion. I'm going to say it tomorrow too, because I can't say that. So the event was some other kind of event besides an explosion, but that's the idea that we understand, right? And it happened, but what they found was trace radiation is the same all over the universe, which they then changed their hypothesis to now the Big Bang happened everywhere at exactly the same moment. Everything got shrunk down to the size of a dot on a piece of paper, all the mass in the universe of every planet, of every star, every gas, every nebula, to that small, and then blew up exactly the same moment all around the universe. Now, I don't necessarily have a problem with that because time is weird. Time is affected by gravity, which is a weird thing. The closer something is to the source of gravity, it slows down or speeds up. I forget which one. Also, the speed of light. If you get to the speed of light, time slows down. So if you have someone traveling close to the speed of sound, for them a week passes, and for us like 2 years pass. So that's the idea of space travel. You send somebody out to a planet that takes, you know, five years to get there, takes them 5 years to get there, everybody they knew on Earth is dead. Because time travels differently at different speeds. Could it be when God created our world? You know, we talk about, was the Earth made 5,000 years ago? Was it made, you know, 12 billion years ago? Could it be that time was just the same at the same moment? That 5,000 years and 12 billion years wasn't that far apart when God created the world? Could it be that something's happening in time here? Do you get where do you follow me at all with what I'm saying? Could it be that there's something with time and the way that it is that we don't understand when God shook out the world like a blanket? How much more time do I have? All right. I have a couple of minutes. All right. I keep on looking at the clock like it's wrong. Okay, so for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's the point. No one is going to be able to stand before God and say, I didn't believe there was a God. God will say, I don't buy it, because I put in your DNA that you would know I exist. And you saw in creation, and you knew it, but you suppressed it. He says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or were thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts. The word futile means useless. You were created by God to do what God's called you to do. And when you reject God and you live on your own, you're now living your life for yourself, and it's vain. You're living for your future. You're living for yourself. And one day you'll die and your life will mean nothing. It's futile. It's vanity. This is what Solomon realized in Ecclesiastes. And he said, what is the answer then? Serve God while you're young. After Solomon realized everything I've sought is useless, he says to young people, serve God while you're young, because that's the only way to make your life count. It's not going to count for anything if you don't. They became futile in their hearts and their foolish hearts were darkened. We'll talk more about that in our next section. God gives them over to their lusts. He gives them over to their darkness. Why has the world become so dark? Why do men do such awful, horrible things? Why are there cannibals in the world? Why are there serial killers in the world? Why are there people who are doing things that we could not possibly imagine that they are doing? Because their foolish hearts were darkened. They suppressed the truth, and God firmed up that decision. Like Pharaoh, who would not let the people go, and God hardened his heart. He took what Pharaoh hardened his heart first, and then God hardened Pharaoh's heart. If you decide to live apart from God, God firms up that decision. Again, we'll talk more next week about that. Professing to be wise, they became fools. The Bible says, the man who says in his heart there is no God is a fool. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image of a corruptible man. That is, you were created in God's image. There are things about you that are like God. You have the ability to love, God is love. You have the ability to create, God is the creator. There are things about you that is like God. Again, we could expound on that, but we'll do it at another point. But man has created God in his own image. That's what it says here. It says, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man. In other words, you say, I don't like the fact that God's going to judge everyone. If I were God, I wouldn't judge everyone. And so therefore, I believe in a God that doesn't judge anybody. And so universalism grows. People say, I believe in a God who's going to let everybody go to heaven and not judge anybody. And so now you've created God in your image. You would let everybody into heaven. So now you've created God in your image because you can't serve a God that's different than you are. When the Bible says God's ways are as high above our ways as the heavens are above the earth. And when we as people have been corrupted by the sin nature, how can we ever expect God to be like us? But that's what people do. They create God in their image. And then it says, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things, this amazing thing that people make statues of fish-headed men and multi-breasted women and alligators and flies and sphinxes, the body of a lion and the head of a man. And they build them and they bow down and worship them. And they say, this is our God. Idols. That's what he's saying. He's going back to the time when you and I spend most of our time talking about evolution with this topic. They turned and believed it wasn't God that created everything, but idols. I'll close with this thought, and I got to do it quick. Remember when Paul went to Athens? He gave that great message from Mars Hill. It's in Acts 17, I think, 18, right around there. He says, men of Athens, I perceive you are very religious. For all throughout the city, there are many idols. But I have also noticed that you have a statue to the unknown God. They had built a statue to a God that they didn't know. I think it was to God. They knew God existed because they'd suppressed it. And so they had all these other gods and they built one to the unknown God. And Paul says, it is of him I want to speak to you today, for he is the creator of the universe. You can go back and read it. It's powerful. As Paul talks to them about what they have suppressed and the truth of what God is, may we make sure we're not suppressing the truth. Live in the righteousness that God has given us and be under the favor of God and not under the wrath of God. I'm really late. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for your word. Stand with me, would you? And Father, I want to thank you so much for your word, for the time that we can spend here today. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us, empower us, and strengthen us, that we would know what we're talking about with these things, that we as your people would study evolution and Christians that have looked into these things, that we would be able to talk intelligently about these things. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.